Armed American Radio listeners, today's Armed American Radio's recorded version of the national radio broadcast, the Armed American Radio podcast, is being brought to you today and every day by North American Arms. Make sure to visit NorthAmericanArms.com for the finest mini revolvers on planet Earth. NorthAmericanArms.com. Enjoy the show.
Is Armed American Radio.
If they want to take my guns, they're going to have to bring a station wagon and a whole lot of friends, because I'm not giving them anything.
From the Carr Firearms Group studio
at the Patriot Mobile Communication Center
on the Sig Sauer Platinum microphone.
Mark, we know they want to take our guns, and now we're going to make them eat it.
Proudly presented to you by X Insurance.
X Insurance. X Insurance.
Here is your host of Armed American Radio, the loudest conservative voice in America fighting for your rights, Mark Walters.
Walters. Walters.
And here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Armed American Radio's Monster Cast begins right now. Buckle in. These hours fly by. We've got three solid hours for you on hundreds of radio stations across the nation, coming to you live from the Carr Firearms Group studios here in front of the Sig Sauer powerful and platinum microphone. I am Mark Walters, filling your prescription for freedom today and every day, and we're doing it here at the ranch in the Patriot Mobile Communication Center. All of this is being brought to you every day, today and every day, by the great X Insurance. If you want to watch the program, you can do so. Please don't do that while you're driving. You can visit armedamericanradio.com and click the Watch Live link. You can also watch us on Roku TV. You can watch us on Apple TV. You can watch us on all your devices, all that fun stuff, OpsLens.com, and right there at ArmedAmericanRadio.com. If you're driving, please click the Listen Live button. If you want to participate in the chat today, download the Telegram messaging app, search for Armed American Radio, and you can chat on the Armed American Radio page if you are watching. There's two chats going for you. They're quite active during this broadcast. Welcome in. Let's go to our first guest, the great AWR Hawkins from Breitbart News. AWR, how you doing, my brother, on a Sunday? It's great to have you here, as always.
I'm doing good. Good to be with you.
So you and I discussed over the weekend a piece that you wanted to do, kind of like a public service announcement, and I loved it. I think it's great because it's a topic that I like to cover on this program from time to time, and frankly, we don't cover it enough. But this is the first time I think you've written about TSA regulations and requirements when traveling with a firearm. You and I are both very familiar with that process. Is this the first time you've written about it, AWR?
It may be. I mean, I've got to leave room for me to forget. I've been writing on, this stuff for 14 and a half years, but I don't remember ever writing on how to check a handgun. And it's important to me, Mark, because I told you when we spoke, I think we spoke Thursday or Friday, I said,
right,
I've had some readers email me asking questions about it. So they basically prompted me to do this via their questions. I'm like, you know what, we need a piece up where people understand, here's what I need to do if I want to check a firearm on an airline.
So go through the process for us, because you've written about it. I know it inside out, but I want listeners. We have new listeners all over the country today. We've got a couple new stations. I'll get those calls out and thank them for being here in just a little bit during the show. But for all of you new listeners and those of you who might not fly frequently like I do or like AWR does, this is important information. You can wind up in jail if you do this the wrong way. And as you point out, AWR, TSA is very unforgiving, are they not? So let's go through the process for listeners. Right. What did you write about? Tell us how to do this.
Well, what you need, and again, I'm focusing on handguns. You need a handgun case that is airline approved, and that's going to end up being a hard plastic case with holes pre-made in it to put locks on it. But you need that case, and then you need to be sure your firearm, your handgun, is unloaded. And you lock the slide back. So we're talking about pistols. You lock the slide back, insert the magazine in the firearm, but the magazine has to be unloaded too. And so what you have is, with the slide lock back, TSA, when they open that case, they can immediately see there's no round in the chamber, there's no round in the magazine. That's your first step once you acquire the proper case. Then, if you want to transport ammo, too, and it only makes sense to transport ammo because you're probably taking the gun for concealed carry, you need to, what I do, cut a little hole in the foam the same size as an ammo box. And you have to keep your ammo in that box. And if you think about this, this makes sense. Because TSA wants to make sure somebody can't crack that box, let's say a quarter of an inch to a half an inch open, or that case, and that ammo would come out. So the ammo has to be in an ammo box. So you stick that in there, in the foam, in the box, I mean, and then put that in the foam. And then when you lock it, there's the gun completely unloaded. It's locked. There's the ammo. It's in a box. It can't bounce around or move. And that is how you can fly with that gun. And then when you declare it, TSA will check it to be sure you've done what I said, and you have. And then you put a couple of padlocks on it. Put one on each corner in the front, and that's it. The only thing that they will check, really, to be honest with you, is at the airline check-in, they will check to be sure they can't get their hand inside the box. So with locks on it, they will try to insert their hand. And when they can't, then that's going to pass the muster test right there.
And it's important to point out that, ladies and gentlemen, your mileage may vary here, because each individual airline and each individual airline employee, when you check that firearm at you know, because you're checking, you have to check that bag. Obviously, you can't get through TSA security with it. If you try to do that, you're going to jail. But what is very important, each individual employee might respond a little differently. And I've run into people at AWR that have absolutely no idea what they're doing. I've had to seek a manager because I didn't trust what they were doing. But, happens. Go ahead.
No, I flew out of Philadelphia last year, true story. And they grabbed it, and I had the locks on it, and they put it on the conveyor belt. It came out in the regular luggage when we landed. Normally what happens, not 9 times out of 10, but 990 times out of 1,000, normally what happens is you go through the process I described, and when you land, you have to go to the oversized baggage area, and that's where you get your Philadelphia. I landed in Phoenix, and my gun came out in its case in carousel as my clothes and my dop kit. So, but that's very rare. But what I'm saying is, I'm just backing up Mark. There are variations. So when I describe what I describe, I'm describing what to me, number one, has been the most common experience, and number two, what complies with TSA. That's what's important. And so, but you may be with an airline personnel or in a particular airport where they have different rules. I don't want to say names, but I flew in a particular airport 3 weeks ago, and when I handed them my case, because when you walk up to the counter, you come in here, and the process starts there. When I did that, she looked at me and goes, "Is it unloaded?" And I go, "Yeah." She goes, "Put the locks on it." I locked it, and that was it. I never saw it again. I never talked to a TSA agent. So that is an option. But if you prepare for that moment, you won't be prepared for what is normal. And what is normal is when you go up there and declare it, they will then walk you to TSA, and there will be an inspection, because they will not only be checking the firearm to be sure it's loaded, they will do a test to be sure there is no explosives in there or explosive residue. And so that's what you have to be prepared for. So you prepare for the most extreme, and then you can pass any of it. That's why I wrote it that way.
Yeah, and I'm glad you did, because, ladies and gentlemen, as we said, again, your mileage may vary at different airports. Individual airlines, et cetera, might treat you a little different. Like, for example, in the Atlanta-Hartsfield-Jackson Airport, where I fly out of regularly, I walk it to TSA myself. They don't accompany me. Go down to Tampa, they accompany you. And when we get back here to Atlanta, if I'm flying Delta, which I am, as you know, AWR, 9 out of 10 times, they will wrap the bag at oversized luggage where I go to pick it up in a gigantic zip tie and lock me out of it. And that's all a result of what happened in Fort Lauderdale a few years back, where the guy got his bag, went into the restroom, retrieved the firearm, and shot a few people in the airport. And you can thank that moron idiot for the process that you have to go through now. But nonetheless, I'm gonna say, for my experience, AWR, it really only adds about an extra 5 to 10 minutes maximum to the check-in process, right? But you still want to give yourself enough time. Fair advice?
that's very fair. I would have said, if you hadn't asked me, if you hadn't even made that comment, I would have said 5 to 10 minutes. That's about it. And so folks need to understand it's worth it, especially if you're flying from a gun-friendly state to some state where crime is rising or is out of control. I'll just tell you, I would say if I flew 30 times last year, I can only think of one of those that I flew without checking a firearm. And there was a reason for that, and that's because I was flying to D.C., and you literally can't get there that's and right. have a firearm and carry it. But other than that, wherever I go, I take a firearm. But, Mark, this brings up something I want to say. Make sure you also check local laws. I point that out in the piece because, and Mark knows this, he and I went to the same place once. We flew into New Jersey to go over to Pennsylvania. If you're flying into an anti-gun friendly city, you might not be able to survive local laws.
That's a fact. AWR Hawkins from Breitbart News. We've got him for one more segment, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back, wrap up this segment because it's important. Armed American Radio's Monster Cast continues with AWR right after this 4-minute break. Segment of Armed American Radio is being brought to you by Patriot Mobile. Visit patriotmobile.com/AAR and use the AAR promo code to get free activation today. Welcome back. Get that mic unmuted for you there. The Patriot Mobile right here on this phone, ladies and gentlemen. We're hooked up with it. We did it live. We activated the service live on the Daily Defense Hour last week. PatriotMobile.com. Use the promo code AAR. Well, actually, it's PatriotMobile.com/AAR. Use the AAR promo code like I did. And guess what? Free activation, as you heard on that rejoin, PatriotMobile.com. You can visit all of our partners at ArmedAmericanRadio.com. Welcome back into the Carr Firearms Group studios, coming to you from the Patriot Mobile Communications Center. 6 hour mic lit up. X Insurance, making it all possible every single day, 6 days a week. Let's go back to AWR Hawkins from Breitbart News. AWR, I do want to wrap up that part of that conversation because you and I did, we flew into New Jersey, and it's very, very important to point out, ladies and gentlemen, that you had better check the laws of the state where you're going. And, you know, AWR, I didn't want to run the risk of getting on an airplane or trying to get on an aircraft in New Jersey at Newark International with a firearm that I was lawfully carrying, even though federal law says I can. New Jersey's not going to like that, because New Jersey violates federal law and my constitutional rights and would likely lock me up. And to me, it wasn't worth it. There's that. I mean, it's just kind of the way it goes, isn't it?
Right. And I just think that's important because there's such a focus. Well, my piece is focused on TSA, which is federal. But people just have to remember, you have to look at where you are flying into, what their local and state laws are. Because you do fly into some locales, Mark, where you can't even have hollow point ammunition in New Jersey is going to fall into that. Not only the firearm could be illegal in New Jersey or the possession of it, but the ammo that you use for self-defense in other states that are common sense states, or as we refer to them, free states, in free states, you can't use that same ammo in the slave states like New Jersey. So you got to remember that.
Yeah, and you know, it's always fun. Whenever I fly out to Arizona, which I do frequently, I strap up. As soon as I pick up my rental car, I open it up and I strap up right there in the rental car lot. You know, you're not going to be able to do that in other states. So it's just that simple. So please pay attention, ladies and gentlemen. You hear these horror stories. We read about them all the time. Don't be that person. And AWR, I'm glad you wrote that piece. You have a lot of eyes over there, and it's just a great public service announcement for reminding people of that. It's a huge deal, ladies and gentlemen. Pay careful attention to that. Don't be that person that makes that mistake. And it happens. It can happen. We're human beings. We are capable of making mistakes. Miami, there's another interesting story here now, AWR. You wrote it. Headline is 2 dead and 7 wounded during officer-involved shootout at Miami-Dade Martini Bar, 3:30 in the morning. But there's more to this story than meets the pen, right? What happened here?
Yeah, I mean, it's typical reporting from the mainstream media. They want to up their shooting numbers or quote-unquote mass shooting numbers. But this was not a mass shooting. This was an incident where you had a patron who got a little out of control. Security came over to talk to him. He shot the security guard and did kill him, sadly. And then two Doral police officers who were on scene engaged the shooter, and there was a shootout. So we don't have a mass shooting, Mark. We have a shootout. In the course of the shootout, seven people are injured, one of them being one of the police officers. And so I'm not diminishing the wounds or saying they don't hurt. I'm not doing that. But what I'm saying is it's not a quote-unquote mass shooting like the establishment media likes to think. This seems to be an out-of-control incident at 3:30 a.m. Among the wounded, there were six wounded apart from the officer. Among those wounded, one was female, five were male. So it kind of lends itself to being not quite gang activity, but it lends itself to not really being an unusual incident.
Yeah, I also want to point out regarding that story that I haven't seen any further reporting. Do we know who shot the other seven? Could it have come from the officers who, by the way, were working security? So it doesn't sound, you know, they had three armed people in that martini bar, whatever they're calling it. Two of them were cops that were working security. I don't know if the security guard was armed. I'm not sure. He was killed, sadly.
Yeah,
He was armed. So we have three armed security guards in this bar. Okay. What kind of bar is it? I have absolutely no idea. But we don't know who wounded who, if the shots came from the killer or if maybe just in the course of the reaction from local law enforcement. And we unfortunately will probably never get that. And we do know this, AWR. You and I talked about this previously over the weekend. When the media fails to tell you certain things, ladies and gentlemen, you can always make some certain assumptions and 9 times out of 10 be right. Now, let's go to...
I just want to say this for your listeners. When the media fails to tell you certain things, they tell you certain things.
That's a great way to put it. You're absolutely correct about that. And longtime Armed American Radio veteran listeners know exactly what we're talking about. If they don't tell you, they told you. It's pretty much that simple. You have another headline up I want to get into. Man who allegedly shot six on Easter in Tennessee was convicted felon, should not have been released. So, well, he also shouldn't have had a gun. So the law didn't stop him?
I can't believe it, because you would think a gun ban would stop him.
It doesn't work. It never does, ladies and gentlemen. That's why we point it out. But this guy shouldn't have been released anyway. What happened here?
Right. He was a convicted felon. He was given a cheap release, $50,000 bond, out on bond. The DA of Rutherford County, Tennessee, says it should have never happened. The judge released him on bond, though, and then he's in a restaurant on Easter and gets upset because he doesn't think he has enough personal space. And so he shoots, kills one person, wounds a number of others because he doesn't have enough personal space. And so that's what you get for having folks like this loose in society. And that is why, as we speak right now, I have a Kimber K6S on my hip, 357 Magnum. And I am a deadeye with it. And I have that with me in case another felon might be next to me in a restaurant tonight and he gets upset because he doesn't have enough personal space. If he does that, I've got an answer for him. And what it means is that tomorrow morning there's going to be extra pancakes and butter because he's not going to be there to eat it.
Question for you, legitimate question. This judge, why was he released, number one? And when in this country are we going to start holding accountable these DAs and these judges, AWR? When?
Well, I mean, you got to look, though. You got to look at your big cities, Mark. You look at Bragg up there in New York City. He's proud of ending cash bail. He's proud of people being booked and then immediately released. He's proud of that. So that's the trend from the big cities down. It's not from the little cities up. That's a top-down trend, and that we got to change that. I'm with you. Something has to happen. You look at Jonathan Dillard. Jonathan Diller, that NYPD officer that was killed last week, we covered that at Breitbart.
Yeah, yeah.
That guy was killed by someone who had been arrested 21 times previously.
Should have never been out on the street. Should never have been on the street. AWR Hawkins, Breitbart News, man. Outstanding reporting again this week, as always. Coming up next, Amanda Harden from Lipstick Tactical in Denver. We're going to talk about the Democrats' efforts to strip you in Colorado of all of your rights. We'll be back.
The voice of reason on KQAM, Wichita's Big Talker, and you're tuned into the Armed American Radio Network. Now let's get back to the man himself, Mark Walters.
Let's do it. Let's keep rolling. Second half of the first hour now underway. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, buckle in. Time is going to fly. It always does on this huge national broadcast. Live from the Carr Firearms Group studio, Sig Sauer, mic on fire for you. Patriot Mobile Communication Center lit up. X Insurance presenting it all. We've got some great partners. I was going to tell you about Barrel Buddy, and if you're watching me on camera, I normally hold them up in a little bag, but I used them all. So I forgot to get the other bag out. BarrelBuddy.com. Revolutionize the way you clean your firearms. No more mess. Pitch the patch. BarrelBuddy.com. 50 of them in a little bag for $14.99, and it will change the way you clean your firearms. No more mess. Now we're going to go to Colorado, ladies and gentlemen, where the Democrats are just going absolutely nuts. Joining me on the program for the first time, I can promise you it won't be the last time, Amanda Harden, founder of Lipstick Tactical. Love it, in Denver, Colorado. Amanda, welcome to the show, my friend. It's great to have you here. Thanks for being here today.
Yeah, excited to chat with you for a bit, Mark.
Well, let's do it. I mean, you know, I guess let me start with a CBS News headline, because I hate CBS. Because that's what you get. You CBS when you CBS. But let's go back to a March 13th piece. 10 gun control bills to be debated at Colorado State Capitol. Now, I guess we could say, be happy you're not Virginia, where 47 bills hit the governor's desk. But 10 gun control bills, we've been watching Colorado carefully over the last few weeks throughout this legislative session. The big one is an assault weapons ban. But they're trying to, for example, you know, I don't remember the bill name, but don't you have to have an FFL, federal license, to be a federal firearms licensee? Don't you have to do that, Amanda?
Correct, yes.
But they want to add new licenses for gun sellers.
Yes. Yep, they want to create a state-level license. And when you read the text of the bill, in my opinion, it's just creating a loophole for them to actually shut down FFL. There's very vague language in there on how much you pay every year. It has a fee the first year, but then it can change every year. And then the licensing body that approves your license application is not clear on who that is. So they could almost just not, they could say you have to have a license and then not have the correct personnel that approve that license. It's full of loopholes to just shut down FFLs.
Can you explain the logic? I mean, we're talking about Democrats here, but what logic, what are they saying in Colorado that to their dim-witted minds makes sense about this?
I think Colorado in its entirety just wants guns to go away as far as the legislators go. I don't think there's very few that are even moderate towards firearms anymore. It's a lot of extreme belief that firearms are just simply the root of all evil, which is amazing to me because we have a very serious drug problem and mental health problem. At least going on in Denver, I live very, very close to the heart of downtown, and it's appalling. Any videos you see online where people are driving around videoing people that are homeless, look like they're on drugs, having these weird drug movements, it's so odd what they do. They just cross in front of you in the middle of the street. It's everywhere. I'm telling you firsthand, it's everywhere, and it's awful.
But Colorado, you know, let's be real. This is what frustrates me about some Western states. Montana's up there. Montana, you're listening on a number of stations. Billings, new station, tuned in. Welcome, by the way. But Amanda, Colorado to me is, you know, is just rugged individualism. It's the West, right? It's the West. I, you know, it's part of our culture out in Colorado. And Colorado is a very gun-friendly, gun-loving state. It's just the Democrats that are not. So what's this? What do you think here? Is there going to be some success with these bills? What is the governor going to do? The governor, let's talk a little bit about the assault weapons ban, quote unquote. I don't want listeners to get complacent listening to me here, ladies and gentlemen, but I don't believe the governor's going to sign that bill. There are some indications the governor won't sign that bill, but that's not going to stop them from trying. What can you tell us about that?
You're absolutely right. There is a lot of buzz around that the governor will veto it if it does make it out of the Senate. So I believe, again, that it's more a distraction. That bill is so appalling and so extreme and will so fundamentally change the firearms industry in Colorado that I think it's almost being used to distract people from all these other bills that are most likely going to pass. A few of them are on their final reading. They're going to the governor's desk for signature after that. Mm-hmm. I almost feel like this assault weapons ban bill is something to just get everybody's attention so that they don't realize all these other smaller bills that are going through. And there's a video that surfaced a couple days ago. Rocky Mountain gun owners went to the Capitol. They were delivering petitions. And one of the legislators and their aides were actually tearing up the petitions and throwing them out and saying that these are not from our constituents. These don't matter. So it's getting pretty rowdy up at the Capitol.
I saw that, and it was when I was looking up some of your stuff and some social media, I saw a post on that, and that shocked me, particularly when somebody called him out on it, and he just very nonchalantly just didn't care. Now, are you doing, you know, we spoke with Ava Flanell, of course, a good friend of yours on the program who couldn't make it today, and ladies and gentlemen, I had mentioned last week that she was going to be here. She could not make it, but we'll bring her back next week. I've spoken to her today. She's working legislatively behind the scenes, and she's been exhausted, and I know you have been too. Are you testifying? Do you appear at these hearings? Do you make any headway if you do? Or is anything you're saying to these people sinking in, or are they just going through the dog and pony show that Democrats always do?
It's a lot of yes, everything you just said. Yes, I am testifying against many of the bills. I think what people don't realize, we get a lot of stick your head in the sand mentality that my vote doesn't matter, nothing I do matters. There are only 100 legislators in the state capitol. There are 5.7 million people in the state of Colorado. I think the biggest impact people can have, and they don't realize where it can happen, is to email or call their legislators as soon as these bills get announced. Call all of them, email all of them. It's only 100 of them. Let them know your position on it and let them know that you do not want them to vote yes on certain bills. The House of Representatives, they get reelected every 2 years. And what happens when you call or email, their office staff actually has to tally how many calls and emails came in for and against certain bills. And if enough people will do that, that's where we're going to have the change actually happen. Going and testifying really helps. Like the assault weapons ban bill got tons of publicity because so many people signed up to speak against it. They know if it goes into committee again that it's going to take the whole day. So stuff like that will sometimes get a bill either shelved or the bill will die. So we can get a bill shelved if they're just like, we don't have enough time left in the legislative session. This bill is so controversial. We're going to be here for a day or 2 days listening to all the testimony. And then a bill can die if they start talking around the Capitol and saying, hey, all these different offices got hundreds or maybe even thousands of phone calls and emails against this bill. Well, if it's in the House, no one in the Senate's going to want to touch it. If it's in the Senate, no one in the House is going to want to touch it because they've heard that all these calls and emails are coming in and their reelection is hanging on that.
Yeah, I've been doing this a long time. April 26th is 15 years. The cynic in me, I don't put anything past him anymore. I don't know that they're even going to get the accurate. I don't know if they even care. I just don't know. Do you get the sense that when you're talking to them individually that someone might be against your position on this, that they're hearing you, or are they just humoring you, just for a lack of a better term?
They care about re-election, and they care about the re-election. That's all they care about, and that's why those calls and emails, if they start coming in for thousands of people, they're going to have to start thinking, hey, I may not get reelected because I'm upsetting thousands of my constituents.
Yeah, I don't know how you do it. I applaud you. It's very difficult work. You do this on your own time. You're running a business, which we are going to talk about in the next segment. I want to talk a little bit about Lipstick Tactical. But when we come back from the break, I like your theory on the assault weapons ban, that it's really just a ploy to get maybe to keep the other bills under the radar. I hadn't approached it that way. Let's go back there when we come back. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Amanda Harden, Lipstick Tactical founder. We'll talk a little bit about her business and more fun stuff. We've got her for one more segment. Don't go away. We'll be back on the flip side in 4 minutes.
Gallagher wanting to let you know that the crew of the Desperado Sport Fish in Virginia Beach, Virginia supports Armed American Radio and the Second Amendment, and I'm right there with them. Now back to Mark Walters.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is the great talk radio legend, Mike Gallagher. We love Mike. He's a great friend and a great guy. You can listen to him on Salem Radio every morning from 9 till noon across the country, 6 to 9 on the West Coast, 9 to noon Eastern time, 9 to noon. Mike Gallagher, we love him. Thanks, Mike, for the rejoin. Welcome back to Carr Firearms Group Studios. 6 hour Mike fired up for you. Patriot Mobile Communication Center, X Insurance bringing it all to you. Please visit our website and visit all of our great partners that make it possible. Barrel Buddy, PT Ammo, buy ammo from guys making it behind the blue line in Connecticut. Great entrepreneurs. Feed your guns. Feed it with some PT Ammo. I got a big box of it just about 2 weeks ago. It's great stuff. PT Ammo. .com. More about our partners later in the show. You can find them all at armedamericanradio.com. Let's get back over to Amanda Harden from Lipstick Tactical. Amanda, I want to talk about Lipstick Tactical, but hold on to that for just a second. Two things I want to run with you on here. First off, your theory on that, I think that's got legs. That, to me, that is what Democrats will do. And I sense that you get the idea that you really feel that way, that they're just kind of putting that one out there, knowing it's getting all the press because it's, you know, that low-hanging fruit. It's assault weapons, whatever they want to call them. Are just our favorite rifle in America. So I really believe that. Do you think, out of all of these bills, what do you think is going to be signed?
Ooh, well, there's a couple, I think, that will go through this week. The prohibiting carrying firearms in sensitive spaces, that's Senate Bill 131. That has passed the House completely. It's passed the Senate committee, and now it's going to the Senate floor for a vote this week. I feel like that one is going to get signed into legislation. The Merchant Code Transaction Monitoring Bill, that's Senate Bill 066, that is going for its third House reading tomorrow. But once it comes out of the Senate, it'll go to the House, and I think that will get passed with very little opposition. And then the Firearm Liability Insurance Bill, that's House Bill 1270, that's going for its second House reading, and I think that will pass out of the House and go on to the Senate with no problem as well.
Unfortunately, I think you're right on all three of those counts. And that liability insurance bill is going to be interesting because we all saw what happened in San Jose, California, and several challenges were eventually dropped. Firearms Policy Coalition also withdrew their case. But I believe that one eventually will see Supreme Court, and Bruin is going to, I think, eventually, but at great cost to taxpayers and everybody else. As far as your gun rights are concerned, I don't know what's going to happen with that, but I'm hopeful that Bruin will wipe that out in the long run. I do think you're right about the assault weapons ban, so we'll be keeping an eye on all of that. Now, I do want to point out also, Colorado, there are armed staff in Colorado schools, correct?
There are, unless another bill goes through, they're looking to disarm those staff and make it harder for them to protect the children, which that is the huge flag, which we all want our kids protected. But that is the main argument with the Democrats, is that children are dying in schools because we have access to guns, period. So do away with gun access, school shooting stop is the logic or illogic there. And then they have these odd bills that they don't want security personnel or teachers trained. And in the budget bill that they passed last week, they cut massive amounts of funding to our schools. So it doesn't really add up once you start looking into what they're passing.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong, but a concealed carry permit holder in Colorado can carry on school grounds, right? But teachers can't. other staff can. Teachers can't. Is that because I don't see on the news every day what problems there are with armed staff in schools? Why are they trying to fix something that isn't broken that appears to be working?
That's an excellent question. Our private schools in Colorado, they do have many armed teachers. The private schools obviously can make their own decisions about how they arm and do not arm their personnel. So many, many of our private schools here in Colorado do have trained armed teachers on staff.
Which is a great thing. In the Guardian program, ladies and gentlemen, Ryan Petty, Parkland Father, will be coming up in the next hour, and we'll be talking a little bit more about that. But it's been wildly successful. And what I don't think a lot of people understand, Amanda, is that there are thousands and thousands of schools in this country with armed staff across the country. And we don't hear about it because, well, they don't want to tell us about it because it's actually quite effective. And in one of these pieces that I saw regarding one of these bills, they showed the sign that force will be used because staff is armed in Colorado. Yet the Democrats are doing everything in their power, ladies and gentlemen, to wipe that out, too. Because that's just what they do. All guns are bad and all gun owners are bad. Eventually, somebody with a gun is going to do a bad thing. It's that simple. Amanda, quick question. If I give my, one of many of my assault weapons up and march it down to the police station and say, here, I want to do my part. You guys get this off my hands. Is my local school safer because my gun is gone out of my safe? Tongue in cheek, right?
I'm going to go no.
But that is the logic. That is what they, yeah. I mean, that or illogic, as you pointed out, ladies and gentlemen, that is what they want you to believe. And I cannot remember the dopey Democrat that made the comment that it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when your school becomes a victim of a mass shooting or a what they refer to as a school shooting, at least the left does, to scare everybody. And I remind you that there's 135,000 K through 12 schools in America, and that's a blatantly false lie. Is all that is. But that's what they do. That's what they want to tell you. Let's talk about Lipstick Tactical. You got a great website over there. Tell people what they need to know about you and what they need to know about your organization that you founded, because it's fantastic and I applaud you. Keep up the great work. Tell us about it real quick.
Oh, yeah, I appreciate it. Lipstick Tactical found me. I appeared on the reality television show Top Shot in 2011. I was not a firearms instructor at the time. And after that show, women started approaching me, wanting to train with me. It bridges that gap between a woman wanting to own a gun that also does not have law enforcement experience. She's not ex-military. I'm just an everyday woman that wanted to learn how to protect myself with a firearm. And I think that brings a lot of comfort to other women wanting to train. So I went out and got trained up, and then Lipstick Tactical was born out of what people are asking me for, what kind of trainings they're looking for.
Now, can Bob, Paul, Frank, Steve, and Bill get trained at Lipstick Tactical as well?
Absolutely. I do not exclude training with men. When you look at my website and everything, I tend to advertise towards women more, but no, I'm probably 70-30%. So 70% women, 30% men that I train.
Yeah, that's a fantastic number, too, by the way. Are you seeing, are your classes, I'm going to assume, are full?
Yeah, people are wanting to get their concealed carry permit. People are buying firearms. I mean, what's the joke? The Democrats are the best thing for gun sales ever. Ever since this assault weapons ban bill dropped, every retail gun shop owner I know has said, we cannot keep guns. Like, we're having to call our staff in on days off because people are coming in and buying guns so much.
And when the left tells us that they want to require training, it's not necessary, is it, to have a requirement to exercise a constitutional right when responsible gun owners, as you teach every single day, are coming in for that training by themselves because they're responsible? Isn't that the way this works?
It should be. And prescribing training sets a false expectation of what level of training they actually need. They go into that class, they do the training, and they think that's all they need. And they need way more training than one single class to be a safe, responsible concealed carrier.
Amanda Harden, Lipstick Tactical. You're in Denver, Colorado. Thank you so much for being here. I'm going to go out on a limb and say you'll come back on the show, right?
Yeah, it was a good conversation. I'd love to come back and chat again.
Excellent. Amanda Harden, Lipstick Tactical, everybody. Visit her website, lipsticktactical.com. Amanda, thank you very much for being here. We appreciate it very much. And for keeping up that huge fight in Colorado. Parkland Father, Ryan Petty, coming up at 6 minutes after this hour. Coming up. Ryan Petty. Don't go away. We'll be back after the break.
You've just filled your prescription for freedom with Mark Walters, presented by X Insurance.
X Insurance
on the Armed American Radio Network.